But it's been good, and we appreciate whatever the offering is. It's always just what we need. And we appreciate that. And thank you for your giving. We, as the pastor said, we appreciate the meals this week and how you've taken care of us for the smiles and the I love yous and appreciate you, those kind of things. Thank you very much. And we do not take those things lightly, but we appreciate it very much. If you'll open your Bibles tonight to the book of John, John chapter number 15, John chapter number 15. We'll read about 14 verses here and see what the Lord has for us. So if you'll stand with us when you find those scriptures, if you're able to stand, we would appreciate it as we read the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 15, beginning with verse number 1, I, and this is the Lord speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, again for your precious word. And God, we thank you for speaking to our heart through your word. Lord, we've enjoyed the service. We thank you, God, for the things that have happened, the songs that have been sung, and the challenge of your word tonight. Through Brother Richard, we just pray now, dear God, that you would help us tonight. Lord, help me to preach. And then, Lord, help us to hear what you've got to say to us. And then, Lord, as we hear what you've got to say to us, let us give heed to those things by applying them in our hearts and our lives and obeying you. Father, we thank you for everyone that is here tonight, or for all the visitors that have come this way. Lord, thank you for every church member that's here tonight. Father, we just pray, God, that we would realize the importance of abiding in you or continuing in you, Lord. We ask you to help us to do this now. And Lord, we pray for those that might be here tonight that have never been in you. They're not saved. And Lord, they can't abide in you, Lord, and they'll never experience these things that we just read. Lord, these things will never happen in their life unless they come and get saved. I pray this would be the night that they'd realize they need you and they'd come to you and ask you to come into their heart, forgive them of their sin. For Lord, we know that you'll save them. And we'll thank you now for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take you, may be seated. We look here in these verses. Well, I'm reminded of how good God is to us, that he's made it possible that we can abide in him. Now, this word abide just means to remain or to continue. We might would say it like this, that we live for the Lord. Same thing. Amen. We live for the Lord. We need to live for the Lord. If you're not living for the Lord, you need to. There's benefits from living for the Lord. Amen. I mean, some great benefits. Amen. And I praise the Lord for these benefits. You would think living for God is such a burdensome thing. You say, what? What do you mean you would think so? Oh, I'm going by our testimony. I'm just going by what you say and what I say. And boy, it sure is rough Huh? Is anyone, don't raise your hand, has anyone in this congregation ever made a statement like that? It sure is hard living for God. Has anyone, don't raise your hand, but has anyone ever made a stupid statement like that? Amen. Well, Brother Danny, it's not easy. According to the Bible, it is. The Bible says the ways of the transgressor is hard. So that must mean, if you're not a transgressor, it's pretty easy. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, I came in tonight and folks, it seemed like everyone, and it's not unusual, but tonight seemed like it was more. Everybody was saying, how are you doing? Did you have a good day? And I don't know why the first one caught my attention so much that I kind of backed up and had to think about it. Yes, I've had a good day, but I wanted to reply in the right manner. And I got to think about, well, sure, I've had a good day. The Lord's still on the throne. I'm still His child. And I've lived for Him this day. Amen. Yeah. What's a good day? Praise the Lord. Had a great day. Had a wonderful day. As a matter of fact, it's been marvelous. Amen. You say, well, it wasn't that way with me. Well, I wonder how you treated the day. Did you abuse this day? Huh? When you got up and started out, how did you respond this morning to opening your eyes? Oh, man. Oh, goodness. Or was it? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Lord, let me open my eyes this morning. Well, listen to me. We take these things lightly. But do you realize today there were some folks that could not open their eyes? Well, isn't God good? Amen. I'm telling you, folks, listen, there are benefits of abiding in Christ. We make it sound like it's awful. You know, if you abide in the Lord, your life is going to be down the drain. It's going to be tough, rough. Life is going to stink if you live for the Lord. There's some of us here. Now, listen to me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what you already know about yourself. But there's some of you that dare not live for the Lord. You don't live for God. Amen. You don't live for the Lord. You're very slack in that life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not faithful at all, my friend. And yet we think we can abide in Christ, even though it's only once or twice a year. That's not abiding in Christ. That's called visiting in Christ. Amen. But that's where a lot of us are. Let's just be honest. You're not going to get any help if you sit there and deny it. Amen. But the Bible tells us to abide in it. There are benefits. Hey, you know, you might just get the help you need in life if you abide in Christ. You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't have the faith. I guess it's the faith. I don't have enough faith. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... So, if you get to abiding in Him, you know what you're going to do? Read your Bible. You're going to go to church on a real regular basis and hear the Word of God preached. I mean, the Word of God is going to be one of the most important things in your life, and that means you're going to get more of it, meaning that your faith... Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. We're always wanting our faith to grow. Pastor, would you pray for me that my faith grow? That's not scriptural. Tell me, in the Bible, it doesn't say that we're to pray that our faith would grow. We're to give heed to the Bible, listen to the Word of God. That's how our faith grows. Amen. You might just get that help that you need. Hey, your family might walk closer to the Lord if you and I walk closer to the Lord. There's benefits, I'm telling you, if we abide in Christ. You say, now, preacher, I'm not sure about that. Oh, I'm positive because we just read about it in these verses tonight. Look what happens for those and to those that abide in Christ. The first thing I know and I realize is there is cleansing. Amen. There's cleansing. Whatsoever a man soweth, seems like I've heard this somewhere today, that shall he also reap. Well, you know, some of us are sitting here tonight and we've got this dark cloud over our head. We're sitting here in the pew and we've got a dark cloud. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about guilt. I'm talking about condemnation for the way we've been living. And we're calling ourselves Christians. And we've got that condemnation and it follows us around everywhere we go. It's like a dark cloud over our head. And we can't seem to enjoy life. I mean, we can do the fun things of the world. And boy, we'll have a ball for just a little while and then it's over with. Why? Because that cloud's still there. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sure, I know you do. I can tell by the way you did this when I looked your way. Amen. And we wonder, why is it that I'm not enjoying living down here? Why is it that life is just not fun? I mean, why is it? Listen to me. It's because we have that load of guilt that we carry around. For we know that payday is someday. We know, preacher. We know that one day we're going to stand before God. He's going to grab our desk. And he won't need Arnold. He won't need Miss whoever she was. Amen. And that's what has got us so bothered. We think we can live in the world and enjoy the things of the world and God's going to overlook it. You know what? I found out something. The only way God will overlook it, and excuse me for using that term, but the only way we'll get by with it is if we keep it confessed. The Bible says here in verse number 3 of the verses we read, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You are clean through the word which I have spoken. You are clean through the word which I ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing great. I said it a while ago. Listen, had a good day. The Lord, I got up. God's still on the throne. And he's not even sick. I mean, he didn't even have a rough day yesterday or the day before or 2 months ago or 10 years ago or 1,000 years ago. He did not have a rough day. Amen? But as I think about all these, my sins are forgiven. I'm not just talking about in the act of salvation when I came and asked him to forgive me and save me, but I'm talking about my usual sins. I don't know how to put it. Amen? But those things that we do somewhat every day, not necessarily every day. Amen? I know we've got this opinion that we're all flesh and we all sin. Continually. I mean, we have to because we're flesh. That's not what the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans. We've been saved from sin, not only the sin itself, but from the power of sin. The Bible says it has no more dominion. That means no more power over us. Amen? Amen. Sin doesn't come along and say, hey, come my way. I said, come this way. I don't want to hear it. Come on. He can holler all he wants. But you don't have to obey sin. Amen. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We've got power over sin. Amen. And my friend, I know we're not perfect. Okay, I understand that too. But I am so glad that the Lord, in 1 John chapter number 2, he says, my little children, he said, I would that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know what that means? That means that when sin does creep into my life some way, somehow, that I can go back to God. The Bible says in chapter 1 of 1 John in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Clouds there. Oh Lord, I failed you today. I should have witnessed when I had that opportunity, but I did not. God, please forgive me. Cloud's gone. Amen. It's not over here hiding somewhere to one day, gotcha. Amen. Amen. It's gone. I mean, it's not covered. Yeah. Yeah. It's been washed away. Well, here a while back, Miss Pam and I were at a church. We, after the service was over with, we went to the house. We always keep our house close enough we can go to it. Amen. We went to the house and we got in there, and I was a little hungry. What we don't, you know, I wasn't really hungry, but I was just needing something, you know. And I said, "We got some salsa and some chips." And so Miss Pam got the salsa and chips out and brought me in with a plate with a little bowl of salsa in it and the chips there, and I'm eating it, and I grab one. I've already pulled my tie off and my coat off, of course, and my white shirt, but I've still got, because I don't wear pink, and I've still got my white T-shirt on, but that's all right because I'm not going to be messy. And so I'm eating, and all of a sudden a little drop, just a little one, just a little drop fell on my T-shirt, and I apologize to Miss Pam because she does my laundry, and I want to keep her doing my laundry, amen. And so I apologize. I'm the man of the house. Amen. Amen, hon. Yeah. And I apologized. I said, "Hon, I'm sorry. I should have pulled my T-shirt off, put another shirt on. I'm sorry." She said, "That's okay. I think I've got something that'll take it out." And she had this stuff, and she took care of it. She told me she did. She said, "I've taken care of it." And the next day, she's doing laundry. And so she did some T-shirts that I had already dirtied up through the week, not from salsa, but from preaching. Amen. And she did the T-shirts, and she said, "Danny, I can't tell which T-shirt it was that had that on there." And we got my T-shirts, and we're looking at them, the ones that she just pulled out of the washer and dryer, and she's looking at them, and we're beginning to look at those things and examine them. And you know what? Whatever she put on there did not cover it. It washed it away. It was, we couldn't tell which T-shirt it was. Amen. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. It cleanses us from all. Oh, you say, "But my sins are bad." Oh, listen to me. He'll rub it twice. Amen. Don't worry about it. His blood will cleanse us from all sin and any sin and as many sins. He never runs out. The blood is sufficient. Amen. Praise God, there's cleansing. Cloud gone. Amen. It's better than this, folks. Better moping around and pouting about it. Well, it's just, life is just rough. And you know why it's rough? Cloud. Condemnation. Amen. But when we stay clean before the Lord, that condemnation is gone. Amen. The cloud has rolled away. And my friend, things are, it's not just a cloud here, but everywhere things are looking brighter. That's a benefit from abiding or continuing or living for Christ. Amen. I mean, I know. You think, "Hey, I can live for the Lord whenever I want to do that, but I can do everything else and enjoy it all at the same time." Why are you not doing it then? You're not enjoying everything. If you're a child of God, you're not enjoying your sin. Amen. That condemnation follows you, and I'm going to tell you, every once in a while it reminds you, "Hey, I'm still here. I love the Lord. I'm still here. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad He first loved me. I'm still here." Are you listening? Folks, thank God that abiding in Him means we're cleansed. Amen. We'll stay clean. We'll stay confessed up, if you will. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. There's one of the benefits of abiding or living for God is that you stay clean. Amen. Then I noticed another one. I noticed, my friend, that if we abide in Christ or live for Him, that we'll bear fruit. Do you realize? Look at the fruit that's mentioned in verse number 2. He says, every branch that that beareth fruit, or every branch that beareth fruit, the last part of that verse says, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 4 says, as the branch cannot bear fruit. Verse number 5 says, that we're to bring forth much fruit. Verse number 8 says that we're to bear much fruit. Look at all the fruit that's in there. Boy, this is like Fruity Pebbles, isn't it? Amen. I mean, there's fruit. There's fruit in the... Now, I know. Probably some of us, our mind has already gone to witnessing and soul winning. That's not what the fruit is talking about here. That's not the kind of fruit. He's talking about the kind of fruit that is over in the book of Galatians. If you'll turn with me over there in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. In Galatians, chapter number 5. Listen, you can witness and may not win a soul to the Lord. You can be faithful at witnessing and may not win a soul to the Lord. Then that would be you're not bearing fruit. Amen? If that's what we think fruit is, then that would not, we wouldn't be bearing fruit, especially much fruit, and definitely not more fruit. Amen? But that's not the fruit the Bible's talking about. The Bible is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if we abide in Christ, you know what we're going to get to doing? We're going to get to looking like Him. We're going to get to acting like Him. I don't mean we'll be little Jesus running around here. I'm talking about our ways will be godly ways. Amen. That's one of the benefits of abiding in Christ. We'll bear fruit. We'll bear much fruit, or more fruit, and we'll bear much fruit. Amen. I mean, the more we live for Him, the more like Him we'll get. Look there in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. We won't go above those because those are the fruits of the flesh, the ones above it. But verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. Love. Now, young people, listen to me, and adults too. This is not that kind of love that you look at another, the opposite sex, and it better be that way, okay? But it's not that kind of love that we look at a man, that we look at a female and say, whoa, I love her. That's called lust. Okay, that's lust. That's not love. But when the Bible talks about love, it's not even talking about that love between the sexes. It's talking about a godly love. Meaning it's all right for me to tell Brother Randy, I love you, brother. Amen. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. It means that I can tell you tonight, first time I meet you, tonight I'm shaking hands with you and I say, good to meet you, I love you. You say, well, no, wait, Brother Danny, I think that's carrying it a little bit too far. Ha ha. Then you don't know anything about God's love, do you? He tells us to even love our enemies. So this may be a candidate. Amen? Could be. Amen, Doc? Right. Yeah. By the way, if you're hurting, got any aches and pains, here he is. Free appointments tonight. Now, he didn't say it was, but I just told you it was. See, that's how you make enemies. Amen. But love means that we can love one another, though we don't really know each other. You say, you don't love me. You don't know me that well. You don't understand. It never was me loving anyway. It was always God through me. And He knows all about you. But you know what? He still loves you. So you know what that means? I don't have a choice in the matter. I just love you. Why? Because He said so. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I don't like it, but He does. Amen. We're to love. That's the first fruit of the Spirit is love. You know what that means? That means I can get along with you, Brother Justin. Because I love you. Amen. I don't care how you treat me. I still can love you. Look how we treat God. He still loves us. You can raise your hand on this one. Have you ever went to God and said to him, God, I love you. And he says, well, I don't love you anymore because of the way you've been treating me. Huh? No. And you might have been treating him real dirty. Like living in sin. I mean, yesterday and today too. That's treating God poorly. Amen? Just, well, and Brother Danny, wasn't it? I just told him I didn't love him. I mean, I just forgot about him for a few days. That's treating God poorly. If I forgot about my wife for a few days, I might be trying to get the spots out on my own. Hey, man, you got it. He's a pretty sharp doctor. Yeah. But that's the first one. I don't know that it means that it's better than all the rest. I just know this. It's the first one that's mentioned. Love. Notice he doesn't stop there. It's not just about love. Well, this world's all hung up on that. God is love, and God loves all of us the way we are. We don't have to worry about it. And you folks just talk about sin and all that you want to, but that's not God. He's a God of love. You better look out. Evidently, you don't know him. Amen. But it goes further than love. He says joy. Boy, one of the benefits is loving folks. I like loving folks. I'm serious. I enjoy loving folks. Amen. But he says then joy, another fruit of the Spirit. If I abide in him, you know what? I'm going to have joy. I mean, it's going to be more than what I can stand. I mean, I'm some full now, about to pop. Joy, just bubbling out all over the place. Joy. Again, you must not know the God I know. Amen. He calls it a joy unspeakable. That don't mean it's a joy you shouldn't talk about. It just means it's a joy you can't explain. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. God says that. See, that ought to blow you right out of the water if you're one of those that haven't been living for God and you call yourself a Christian. And you say, well, I don't have to abide in him. I don't have to stay that close. I'm all right. I'm going to heaven. Hey, there's more to this life than just going to heaven. Well, I'm glad there's joy down here. I'm glad it's all in the sweet by and by. Right now, it's just terrible. But later on, oh, no, it's pretty good right now. I'm being honest with you. Oh, I know there's troubles and trials. I know all that. But my God's able to take care of all those situations too. Amen. He keeps me going. We've already been through so much, folks. Why do we doubt God? You and I both have been through so much in our lives already. We don't even have to talk about what somebody else has been through. We can talk about what we've been through. And God brought us through every bit of it every time. Amen. And you know what? He didn't just bring us through it. But he brought us through it. Hallelujah. He brought us through it, man. I mean, with joy. I mean, with joy. The Bible says if we'll abide in him, we can have joy. That means we can be happy, joyful. I mean, joy is different from happy in the sense that happiness can come and go just like the weather. But joy abideth and abideth and abideth. When things are going bad, our happiness is out the window. But we'll still have joy. Amen. I mean, as we're going through, I believe with all my heart, Paul and Silas are in jail. It's midnight. They've been beaten. Their clothes have been rent, torn off of them. Now they're thrown in the inner prison. They're there all chained up, my friend. But I believe there's joy in their heart. No matter how much they're hurting, my friend. They've been beaten with a cat of nine tails. I mean, stripes are laid on their backs, my friend. I mean, open wounds that every time the blood begins to dry, if they move a little bit, it rips it open again. You ever had that? That's a constant pain. But these two men are down there in that inner prison, in that situation, And at midnight, the Bible says, they begin to pray and sing praises unto God. You know what that tells me? There was joy down there. How can this be? It's the joy of the Lord. They'd been abiding, listen to me, they'd been abiding in Christ when things were going good. And now that things are going bad, God's abiding in him, in them. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, there's just something about living for Jesus. I mean, there's just something about it, folks. He'll give you joy that you would have thought you could never have. But Brother Danny, don't you miss some of the old things that you used to have in life? I do. I got to be honest with you. I sure wouldn't want to lie to you. And I might outside the church, but it won't in here, all right? No, I wouldn't lie to you for anything. I do miss it. I drank a little bit before I got saved, and I kind of miss the hangovers. I kind of miss getting drunk that night and puking all over myself. I kind of miss that. I do. I miss that next morning of waking up. Oh, shh, somebody's breathing. Quit. I miss that. Are you getting it? There ain't a thing back in that old life that I miss. Listen to me. You see, I'm like you. I could go back and get it if I wanted to. But I don't want it. No, thank you. Listen, Jesus came that he might get me out of that mess. And he got me out of that mess. Why would I want to go back and get in it again? Why would I want to get back and wallow in sin? Amen. You know what Christians ought to do? They ought to go through about 10 years of raising hogs. I mean that. And watch those pigs as they wallow around in the mud. I mean from the tip of their oinky nose to the curly on their tail. I mean every bit of them is mud, and more mud. And you can take them hogs out, and you can scrub them down. You can clean them up, my friend, and they'll turn right around and hit that hole of mud again and get to wallowing in that same mud. They eat some of the... I don't like to talk about this because I like bacon. They eat some of the stinkiest food. We call it down in Alabama slop. You got to go out and slop the hogs. You know what that is? You're feeding them stuff that is soured, rotten, and ruined. That's the hogs. You say, well, what do we need that for? To show us what we're like when we backslide on God and don't bother to get things right with him. We're just wallowing around in that mud, and my friend, we'll eat some of the sorriest things that the world's got us on. They'll put us on a steady diet of sin, and it's nothing but slop. Amen. Thank God for joy. Amen. He gives us love. He gives us joy. Y'all going to have to hurry up. And peace. Peace. Whew. Peace that passeth all understanding. When you're going down the road, doing about 60 miles an hour in a 15-ton motorhome, and all of a sudden, brake lights are on right there in front of you, 18-wheeler, the back end of that trailer, you're coming up on it. And you can't stop it. It's sliding. Well, I'm telling you, there's no way out. You decide to take the median and you whip it this way, and then the whole motorhome starts sliding long ways down the highway, down that asphalt. And you can tell you're coming up on that 18-wheeler because he's stopped. There's nothing you can do. All of a sudden, the impact, wham! Everything's tore up, totaled. But inside that motorhome up front where Miss Pam are sitting, listen to me, nothing out of the ordinary is happening. No, oh, what are we going to do? Look out! None of that. There's perfect peace in the front end of that motorhome where we're at. Where do you get that from? I'm going to tell you something. I only know of one place, and that's from abiding in Christ. Amen. He says that we'll have fruit. And one of those fruit is peace. peace. He says, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but my peace. He's talking about, it's not just a peace, but it's his peace that he gives to his children. Excuse me for a second. Wow! Glory to God. Amen. Boy, somebody ought to get excited. I got to preach and get excited too? That's asking a bit. I didn't see that much money in the offering plate, to be honest with you. Amen. I'm telling you, God gives us a peace. God gives us a peace. It is possible to sit in a service while the preacher is preaching and ripping up and down on sin and sit there with peace in your heart. Why? Because you're right with God. You was right with Him yesterday and the day before, a week ago, a month ago, and you're still right with Him now. That's abiding. That's abiding. These things do not just come because today you decide, oh no, it comes from abiding according to the Scripture. We think being faithful to God is, we've been here all this week, we're faithful to God. No, you're not. You've just been here a week. How many months have you not been here? It's the last night. I can preach what I want to. Amen. 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 It's the truth. It's the truth. He gives us peace. Peace, my friend, that just overwhelms. Even at times where you don't even think about having peace, all of a sudden something happens and you realize, hey, whoa, 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 it's all right. God's in control. And God's my Father, so if He's in control, everything's all right with me because He's got me in control. Amen. But Brother Danny, what if some disaster I just told you about one just a little while ago? God took care of us through that. And that's just one of the many, many times that God has been so faithful to give us peace in a situation where things were rough. Oh, we could go back years ago and tell you stories of things that happened in our family's life, how God just came in and took care of the situation. But there's no need in that. If you won't believe what you've already heard, a little bit more is not going to convince you. But He gives us peace. Now, He doesn't stop there. Praise God. When I said there's a bunch of benefits, a whole lot of benefits, I didn't mean one, two, or three. Amen? Listen, not only is there peace, but the Bible says long-suffering. These are things that we will have and we will possess and we will produce. Actually, He will, but through us. Long-suffering. That means not only can I love Justin, I can put up with him. Amen? Yeah, you know what we think we got to do? Divide and conquer. Huh? We got to divide. I mean, listen to me. I'm not putting up with so-and-so, and I'm not going to put up with that at all. And so here we go, and we begin to divide. And I mean, all of a sudden, there's a split between us and that person or persons. Amen? The Bible says we'll be long-suffering. We'll put up with a bunch of junk. Amen? I know what I'm talking about. I pastored a church too. You'll put up with a lot of things, my friend, just because you abide in Christ. Amen. I mean, there'll just be something there that just causes you to be long-suffering. Put up with folks. Just put up with their foolishness and their ways. We have to remind ourselves as pastors, hey, listen, they don't understand what it's like to be a pastor. Sometimes we want to take it and say, they don't understand what it's like to be a pastor. Who do they say? Wait just a minute. They don't understand. That's the bottom line. Amen. I remember our son, oldest son, who surrendered to preach and now is pastoring. I remember he came and he would talk with me and he'd say, Dad, you know, sometimes you do things that I don't understand. And I said, you don't have to. You don't have to. Well, that's your son. He don't have to understand. I was the pastor. You know what? I never jumped on him. I never tried to run him off because I felt like he was trying to take over. Amen? I was long-suffering. I put up with him. Never once hit him. Twice. No, I never did. There's no need in it. He did not understand. I said, I told him, I said, God will put you in the pastorate one day, and you're going to have somebody come up and tell you the same thing. And you just remember, you got to put up with them. You got to love them. You got to be joyful with them. And remember, you still got peace. Amen. I'm just telling you, listen to me, folks. We don't all understand each other, do we? But we're long-suffering. We can deal with it. Amen. Because just think of it this way. If you lived to be 100, if you were 10 years old right now, and I couldn't stand the way you're doing, and you lived to be 110, that's only 100 years I got to put up with you. That's only 100 years. When you stack that up beside of eternity, that ain't long. I figure I can endure to the end. Amen. But we're long-suffering. We put up with things. We let things slide sometimes. You say, that's compromising. No, it's not. It means we're long. Listen to me. Are you calling God a compromiser? Because He puts up with a lot of junk from us. Weren't you glad that when you failed Him, He didn't zap you right in the top of your little noggin with a bolt to lightning? All that was left was a greasy spot on the road. Huh? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. He could have done it. And He would have been righteous in doing that and justified in doing that because He's God. But He didn't do it. Why? As a matter of fact, why did He not do it then and He didn't do it the other time nor the other time nor the other time nor the other time nor the other time? Because He's long-suffering. Therefore, we are too if we abide in Him. Long-suffering. Praise God for that. Amen. Well, these are great things. I told you there's benefits of abiding in Christ. Amen. Not only long-suffering, but gentleness. Gentleness. Boy, when He does deal with us in our sin, He's still gentle. When you think of what He could do, I don't care if He beats you. I mean, till you're black and blue all over. I mean, I don't care if He beats you till your eyes are swollen shut. That's still good side of what He could do. Amen. Why? Because He's gentle. You know what? God would deal with us in that same way as we abide in Him. He would give us that fruit of gentleness. So you did me wrong. I'm going to deal with you, big boy. Amen. But you know what that means? I will deal with you gently. Why? Because my Father, He deals with things gentle. And I abide in Him. I'm close enough to Him to know that that's the way He does things. I want to please Him. Amen? I want to please Him. All right, we're going to hurry. Some of y'all are getting kind of anxious to get out, and we got a picnic tomorrow. And amen. But He says, gentleness, goodness. Oh, thank God. He gives us that fruit that we can bear ourselves. Goodness. Amen. Whoa, so-and-so, they're just as good as gold. Amen. Goodness. Goodness. Praise God for goodness. Then He says, faith. Boy, if we abide in Him, my friend, He'll help us produce faith. Amen. There's that faith. There's that faith. Abiding in Him. You say, I thought it comes from hearing the Word of God. If you abide in Him, He is the Word. Honey, you got it. Amen. Amen. Boy, our faith will begin to grow, and we'll begin to do things that the world looks at, and then they'll see our little light, because we'll have one. Amen. Faith, and then notice, we're getting down there to the last two, aren't we? Meekness. Boy, to be meek, listen, that doesn't mean to be a coward to run from the world or the devil, my friend. It just means to, well, as a matter of fact, I looked it up, it means quiet, not willing to argue. That's meekness. That's what the dictionary says. If I'm wrong, it's wrong. And there is that possibility, I agree. But that's what it says, quiet, not willing to argue. Boy, do we need to have meekness. We want to argue about everything. We get so technical on things. Us preachers we're the world's worst. I ain't kidding. We can say the same thing that somebody else said, and they say it just a little different, but it's still the same thing. And I can't fellowship with them. they don't see things the way I see things. And we listen, I'm glad, praise God, we ought not want to argue about anything. Amen. I am not a debater. I have yet to see anything good come out of debating. I'm sorry. That's arguing. That's what debating is. Excuse me. It's a form of argument. And you think you're going to lead somebody to the Lord by arguing with them? By debating? I've seen those debates, enough of it that I said, forget that stuff. I'm talking about Christian debates. They never, when it goes away, both sides still won. Because both sides are going to say, we answered that just right. And the other side said, yeah, we did pretty good on that same thing. Amen. You know why? They still arguing. Amen. If you'll show some meekness and don't argue, just make your statement, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you, and I hope this scripture sticks with you. And in your time of need, you call out to God. Thank you for your time. That's a little bit of meekness. Amen. Instead of getting in somebody's face, we were talking about the light last night. You know what some of us want to do? Are you saved or not? Are you going to heaven or hell? What are you saying? We blind them with the light. Amen. Show a little meekness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then not only that, but he says temperance. 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 It's talking about moderation or self-restraint, or it could be this, simply this, self-control. Show a little self-control. Amen. It could be in drinking. We use the word temperance a whole lot in alcohol, but that's not what all it means. That's just one little bitty thing. Excuse me. But it could also be eating. We don't preach on gluttony. And I can tell you why. Because we're all guilty. But we ought to. We ought to get to preaching on gluttony, and we ought to be preaching about fasting. Because those are two things we're guilty of. You say, but aren't they about the same thing? They're two things, but we're all about guilty of it. And my friend, listen to me, especially the fasting is really hurting us spiritually. The lack of. Amen. And it's not an Old Testament doctrine. It's a New Testament. But my friend, listen to me, temperance. We should show some restraint. Amen. Do you realize there's some folks, my friend, that are so caught up in things that when something comes up, when some kind of sin comes their way, they just can't help but go with it. Why? They never show any self-restraint. And this is true in Christians. This is true in our Christian life. We'll start out tonight. I'm going to serve the Lord. I've got my heart right with God. I know I've had some problems in the past with sins and certain sins that have come up in my life and taken me away. But tonight I'm getting it all settled. I'm leaving it at the altar. It's all on the Lord. I'm just going His way from now on. And listen, the first time that sin shows up, we just go off with it. No self-restraint. The Bible says if we'll abide in Him, that'll be one of the fruit that we share, that we bear, will be temperance. We'll be able to say no. Amen. You say, well, I've been having that struggle, Brother Danny. I'd say no, but I go ahead and do it anyway. You know why? Listen, you're not abiding in Christ. The Bible says if you abide, listen to me, the Word of God is true. I don't care who you are and what argument you offer. The Word of God is still true. You're the one and I'm the one that's wrong. The Word of God is always right. Amen. He says if we'll abide in Him, we'll show these things. Not only that. Now listen, we'll also have answered prayer. Look back with me in John chapter number 14. Answered prayer. Amen. In John chapter 14 verse number 7, He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Well, praise the Lord. I want to, dear Lord, give me a gold Cadillac with $10 billion on the front seat and tax exemption in the back. Amen. Would one of you mind going out and checking out my car and get the keys out and bring it in for me? Because that's what the Bible said. There's much more to the Bible than what you and I interpret it to be. Amen. Let me give you some for instances. In James chapter 4, verse number 3, the Bible says, by the way, you can turn back in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 and 15, and we'll read those in just a moment. Don't read them yet. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust." Why, you say, what is amiss? Just what I prayed. That wasn't really a prayer, but just what I pretended to pray. It was amiss. It was just something that just flashed by. Zing. Amen. Zing. I want a gold Cadillac. God, please give me a gold Cadillac. That's just one of them zingers that just popped out of that old crazy mind. And you hung on to it and prayed, asked God, listen, that's that you can consume it on your own lust. That's just for yourself. But look what God also says about prayer in chapter 14 and verse 13. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You say, "Brother Danny, now you've read two verses, and both of them are saying the same thing, that whatever we ask in His name, He'll give it to us." But wait, this verse we just read has got a little bit more to it than that. Look what it says at the last of it, "that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So whatever I'm asking, it's got to be for God's honor and God's glory. Amen? That's the reason He answers our prayer, that it might bring honor and glory to God. Then look at verse 14. "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Oh, Brother Danny, there you go. Whoa, just a minute. Don't leave the Bible yet and go sit in my Cadillac, because you're going to find out it ain't out there. And there's a reason. And I'm not disappointed about it. Amen. I'm not going to get mad and go home and I'm quitting the ministry and you never call me again because I'm not preaching anymore. That's it. I asked God for a Cadillac. He didn't give me one. I'm all right. I really am. I'm all right. I don't need a gold Cadillac. All right. I don't need $10 billion on the front seat. I'm being honest with you. As a matter of fact, if you were to come up to me and say, "Brother Danny, I've got plenty of money to do whatever I want to do. Give me a list of your needs. I'm going to try to take care of every need you've got." I'm being honest. Now listen to me. I'm thinking, right now, I do not know of one thing. I can't come up with one thing I need. Now, if you want a want list, I'd come up with a big one. But need? All my needs are met in Jesus. I'm being honest with you, folks. I ate today. I got clothes on my back. We got a roof over our head. What I need? I'm being honest. What do I need? You say, "But Brother Danny, isn't there some bills that's got to be paid?" You may not believe this, but we're up to date on those. Amen. I'm just saying, all of my needs are met in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I figure every one of them that He's given to us, supplying our need, every time it's brought honor and glory to Him. Because we always brag on Him. And He's worthy to be bragged on, and it's right to brag on Him. Amen. Look at verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Boy, now, if we're going to ask anything, we got to ask it in His name for His sake. And my friend, if we keep His commandments, if we abide in Him and keep His commandments, you know what? All I'm going to want is what He wants me to have. Amen. I mean, the Bible says that we're to give thanks in all things. that's good or bad. I figure if something bad comes in my life, God said, I want you to have this. Now, if you're not willing to accept the bad, then you ought to refuse the good. We had a man when I had moved up to Michigan to be with Miss Pam, and before we got married, and I moved up there, was living with one of my sisters, and worked at a grocery store, and there was a man that worked at the grocery store with us, and he was a worldwide Church of God man, Garner Ted Armstrong, and he was one of those, and they didn't believe in Christmas or birthdays and all that. They didn't hold to those things. And so Christmas time came around the first year I was there, and his first name was Harold. And Harold was there, and the owner of the store came by, and he had envelopes, and Randy Lewis. And I mean, he's giving out the envelopes, you know. There's Christmas bonuses inside. Do you do that for your folks? You ought to. And so here he came, and everybody, all the employees knew Harold. They knew he didn't believe in Christmas, you know, worshiping whatever Christmas, what they say, or whatever, birthdays or anything. But everybody was watching, and the boss man went up to him and handed him that envelope. You know what he did? He grabbed that sucker. He grabbed it. Afterwards, one of the women that was not a Christian, she went up to him. She had no temperance. She was not meek. She went up to him and said, Harold, thought you didn't believe in Christmas. Well, we don't. Well, what'd you do taking that envelope? Well, that's a Christmas bonus. You don't believe in Christmas. You ought to refuse it. You must believe in it. You accepted that gift. That's a Christmas gift. Something you don't believe in. Amen. Well, I tell you, folks, listen to me. We better get this thing right. If we believe God's going to hear and answer our prayer, we better be ready to take whatever He gives us, good or bad, and we ought to give thanks in it. Why? You know, sometimes another Christmas story. I never told any stories till I met you. Now about everything I say is a lie. I mean a story. We'd go to, my mom's gone on to be with the Lord. My dad died years ago. And so we get together with one of my older sisters. All our family comes together, my siblings and all. And we get there and we play Dirty Santa. Y'all play that? Y'all know what that is? What? Yankee Swapper. Okay. See? No, that's not the same thing. I can't fellowship with you. But we call it Dirty Santa because, you switch gifts and everything. Every once in a while, there'll be a gift wrapped up. It looks like Kleenex tissues. I don't want this. I sure hope somebody comes and gets it. Oh, you're picking now? You want some tissue? We're just hoping somebody come and get it. And sometimes they don't. And you honestly think that's what you got. And then you open it up, and down in there is a gift card. Not for Dunkin' Donut. Y'all have to excuse me. I got saved, and I don't like that kind of stuff. There's a gift card in here for Cracker Barrel. $50 in this box. I took what seemed to be bad and turned out to be real good. Do you realize that's the way God gives us some good things sometimes? What seems to be bad ends up being, be thankful in all things. Amen. We get our prayers answered if we abide in Him. Why? Because we're going to only want what He wants us to have. If God were to give me a gold Cadillac tonight, I'd say, thank you, Lord. I can hardly wait to sell this thing. Because I don't need a gold Cadillac. You can't tow them behind a motorhome. Amen. And I would not say, God must have been crazy. No, he knew what he's doing. I just sold it and bought a horse. Amen. You can't tell them. I also know that. Amen. But he better run fast. Amen. I'm just saying, listen, folks, there are benefits. We've been talking about benefits. Answered prayer. And then the amazing thing is, and we're going to sum this thing up, is he goes right back and he deals with two things that was part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy. Again, God is reiterating the fact that there is love and joy in obeying God, in following Him, in walking with Him, in abiding in Him. Amen. There's that joy. There's that love keeps on popping up. And then the last thing, if you'll read it there in the last couple of verses, my friend, and one of the greatest to me is this. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Read that verse. Read that verse. Listen. I can't quote it. Excuse me. In verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know what he's just commanded us? To abide in Jesus. And he says we're his friend. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's our friend. Isn't that glorious? But wouldn't it be awful if all I could do is brag about you being my friend? You're my friend. Oh, you're my friend. That's the way we brag about the Lord. Oh, he's my friend. He's my friend. Wait! You know what I want God to know? That I'm his friend. Amen. That's what he's saying right here. We'll be a friend of Jesus if we keep his commandments. Amen! Boy, there's some benefits. Folks, listen to me. I feel sorry for people that do not abide in Christ. You don't know what you're missing. It's kind of like the Sunday morning crowd. Amen. It's like the Sunday morning crowd. They have no idea what they're missing on a Sunday night. I get the idea that they think we come back on Sunday night, the pastor's got a work list made up, and he puts us to work for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and we come in and we just labor and labor and labor and labor, and finally he lets us drag out of here. Oh, it's what you get for going to church on Sunday night. It's got to be something like that that they've got messed up in their head, because they never come back on a Sunday night. Well, I have found in my Christian life, all of my Christian life, 47 years of being a Christian, I found out that some of the sweetest services are on Sunday evening services. Amen. It has been amazing what God has done in lives on Sunday evening. There's a not a different spirit, but a more free spirit on Sunday evening than there is on a Sunday morning. And most folks never know it. They come in with all the other visitors and blend right in as a visitor. Amen. And rightfully so, if you only come on Sunday morning, you ain't much more than that. Amen. Now remember, I'm the evangelist. He's the pastor. Don't take this out on him. Unless you want to. Who am I to argue with you? I'm only the evangelist. Remember that, all right? But listen, you ought to come. You ought to find out Sunday nights. Sunday nights is a time where now it's not visitors and family, it's just family. Amen. And it gets so sweet sometimes. I mean, the honey is dripping out of the honeycomb. I'm serious. Boy, God just meets in a very special way on a Sunday night. Amen. Boy, I like it when it spills over from Sunday night to Wednesday night. Amen. We used to have some hallelujah Wednesday nights because we'd have some hallelujah Sunday nights. Amen. We'd try it on Sunday morning, but you folks had only come on Sunday morning and run it for us. Amen. Now, I'm not mad at you, but you sure have messed up my life somewhat. But I'll get over it because I'm meek. Amen. Listen, God loves us. He's not trying to bore us. He's not trying to take the good life away from us and give us the Christian life. The Christian life is the good life. But he won't stuff it down your throat. He will say, come. Amen. Abiding in Christ. I'm serious. 47 years of salvation. 47 years of God blessing year after year after year. Day after day after. I'm honest. God is my witness. I don't know what it's like to miss a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I don't. And I'm not going to apologize to you. I'm so thankful. I don't know what it's like to get my feelings hurt. I'm not through. To get my feelings hurt and quit on God. Amen. I do not know what that's like. I'm being honest with you. I'll take you back and show you. You can talk to former pastors that I've had, and there's been just very few of them in 47 years. As a matter of fact, one of them outlasted all of them, and that was when I was my own pastor. Amen. I did give me a rough time. I got to admit that, but the others I didn't. But I'm saying 47 years of abiding in Christ. You say you're bragging? I sure am. Amen. Well, are you loco? You mean you? You brag about going to church all week long, and I can't brag about 47 years. You're a nut. Right. Amen. But I'm not bragging on me, because if it wasn't for the God that I love and I cherish, I could not say that. You see, He's real to me. Wait, don't get mad. He's really real to me. I mean, He's so real. I don't want to miss out on anything. Amen. And it's not just all at church. It's abiding in Christ out yonder, down yonder, over there. Amen. What a wonderful life to abide in Christ. Such benefits. I mean, we haven't even touched it. The benefits are so glorious. Let's all stand tonight. Everyone standing, every head bowed and every eye closed. Pastor's going to come and stand up front. Piano player's coming, getting ready for an invitation. Your invitation is this. Come. Come. Why? Do we have to? No. Come because you can. Come because the Lord invites you, Christians. Come. Get a little closer. Come tonight. You say, "Preacher, I've blown it. I've not been a body." Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait just a minute. Don't give up. That's the reason God gave us the message tonight. You can start off afresh and anew tonight. You say, "Preacher, I've messed up so many times." Hey, you can start all over again. Be just like your very first time. I'm being honest with you. And then, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and save your soul, you can tonight. Why don't you come? Why don't you come tonight and take this pastor by the hand? I've told you all week, he can't save you. But why don't you come and take him by the hand tonight and say, "Pastor, I want to know this Jesus. I want him to be my friend, my Savior. Pastor, would you help me pray and trust the Lord as my Savior?" Why don't you come tonight? Won't you just step out and come? Go ahead. There's nobody here but us tonight. Nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody's going to make light of what you're doing. My friend, we're praying for you. Folks knows every time we get together, there's always that possibility of somebody being in the service lost. So you know what Christians are doing? They're praying for you. Even though they don't know who you are, they're lifting you up and praying for that one that's lost tonight. That's you. Won't you come? Won't you come? Father, Lord, we're not asking for the raising of hands tonight. We're asking folks to just step out and come. Lord, would you help them tonight, those that are lost? Dear God, help them know this is Friday night, the last night of the meeting. I know Sunday's anniversary Sunday, but the last night of the meeting. Lord, some have been so faithful to be here every night and some almost every night. But Lord, you've spoken to hearts and they've said no. Probably they have thought, I'm going to wait. And now, Lord, here it is, the last night. Lord, I wonder if they've ever thought this could truly be the last night. They may never have another opportunity. They may never be gathered together in this manner again. Lord, I'm not saying they might get killed, though they might. But Lord, they just may not be in a setting like this ever again in their life. There may not be the Holy Spirit of God bidding them to come. Lord, help them to realize tonight could be their very final time to hear the gospel and their very final time to respond to your sweet Holy Spirit. Help them, dear Lord. I know as I stood there when I was 19 years old, lost and on the road to hell. I know what it's like. God, would you give them courage and let them know that we do understand? And Lord, help them to just step out and come in spite of whatever they think. Lord, just help them just get out and come because they can and because you want to save them. Lord, would you help them tonight? Lord, do a work in our hearts now in Jesus' name we pray. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come tonight? God bids you to come. Would you do it? Would you do it? Lord, speak into your heart. Would you come tonight? Christian friend, what about you? What about you? You only a Sunday morninger? Amen. Just come on Sunday mornings? My, Jesus is better than that. Amen. He's better than that. Oh, my friend, listen to me. What about it? You say, preacher, I haven't been abiding in the Lord like I should. Praise God, I'm glad that he spoke to your heart and you realize it now. Do something about it. Well, you've got the time. Let him have his way in your life tonight. Won't you come? Come on tonight. Don't use an excuse. My friend, that'll just keep you from the blessings of God. The benefits of abiding in Christ or living for Christ, the benefits are enormous. Oh, yes, they're enormous. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come tonight, Pastor?
I've said before many times, I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in accident.